It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. I'm Matt Pocket, in for Bill Crawford here today. And Damon Whitten, you should be the one welcoming me, I guess, to the show. You're the one who's always here.
You're stepping into our territory, but it's good to have you. We miss Bill, but good morning. And it's always great to be on talk Laker hockey. Certainly a little different without Bill Crawford sitting in your chair, just a conflict this week for this. But it's good to be sitting with you, Matt.
Yeah, when looking at this team in the offseason, I think the big story, let's dive right into it, Damon. The big story has been the news about the WCHA a couple of weeks ago, and there's a lot of angles to it. I'm not sure what you can say and what you can't say at this point, so we're going to ask. And
sure.
If you can, great.
Yeah, great.
If you can't, great, I guess. Yeah. The news came out a couple of weeks ago. What was your initial reaction, and where did these conversations, I guess, start?
Sure. Well, I think, like you said, it's an exciting summer. I mean, I think a lot of times we get, what do you guys do all summer? And, you know, I wish we were sitting around vacationing, things like that. But there's a lot going on. It's busy recruiting. We've been on the road, quite a bit between the three of the coaches who are allowed to recruit. So there's been good progress on the road. We're always, you know, trying to look to make our team better and add pieces that fit Laker hockey and our culture, what we're trying to do. Certainly, hockey schools have been very busy. We're in just wrapping up, I think, 4 or 5 weeks. So those have been really good. It's been an awesome summer with our Laker hockey camps. Our kids have been unbelievable. You know, that's majority of our local kids. We do get kids from all over the country and the world, but those have been gone really well, and we appreciate our local support there of bringing the kids out. It's fun for us. My kids are the age of a lot of them, so I know a lot of kids now these days, and it's fun to get the chance to work with them and kind of remember back what it's like to be working with 7-year-olds or 12-year-olds and just the passion they have and the big smile. So it's been good that way. But as you said, certainly the big news on the college hockey scene has been the notification from those 7 schools, including Lake State, about leaving the WCHA. As you follow those releases, not much comment. There's not a whole lot to announce or talk about after that big announcement. I think more news will be coming out relatively soon about next steps and what things look like there. But, it really escalated quickly in some ways, I guess, because even when this first formed, I think 6-7 years ago from day one, people kind of felt like it wasn't the end of shifting around in the West. There'd be more movement. There was a little bit of an overreaction when the Big Ten formed. And, I think logically, certainly geographically, the layout was not ideal for a lot of teams. And this is the next shift. Not shocking. It had been talked about for a long, long time. And then just recently, with different scenarios going on, I think one of the big pieces is that, the WCHA and its current makeup, we tried to make it work. We tried to make a goal of it. It wasn't necessarily a marriage, more so than some teams forced to kind of partner up and make a goal of it. And I think after whatever it was, 6-7 years of it, kind of saw that, it's not going to work geographically in particular. This is the next step. This is the next shift. And so, we'll see kind of what happens moving forward here. I think it's a really healthy thing for Lake State and, those 7 members. Obviously some tough times for some schools, certainly a lot going on in Alaska with their budgeting issue. That was the notification a couple of weeks back, and some tough times for sure, but some exciting times as well.
And the announcement came at the same time as the Alaskas were going through their biggest budget issues, the line item veto that slashed, almost $150 million out of the budgets. They're talking about potentially having to cut athletics as a whole at one or even both of the universities. I mean, you got to really feel for the people up there at the schools, in the community as well. Times are tough up there right now, and it is not pretty psyched.
Yeah, no, it, you know, and I obviously, you know, you heard a little bit about it before that notification went out, but it's really grown. I think that you said that same Friday was the big
veto by
the governor. I spent 2 years at Alaska Anchorage, you know, loved my time up there. It's a great place and a lot of great things going on, but certainly challenging times in the state and what's going on with the university budget there. So, yeah, I think we're all kind of, you know, we get some updates from the league and from their athletic departments, but I think, you know, they don't know a ton. They're waiting to hear some of these final numbers and what the legislator is going to do and what the governor is going to do. So I know the 15th was a big date a couple days ago, and then it sounds like the 30th is the next big date. So we're all waiting too. You know, we've got travel planned for the season. We've got hotels booked and flights booked, things like that. You know, we hope they can figure out those issues and continue on and, you know, keep those programs. They're great tradition of college hockey.
Matt Pocket, Damon Witten, Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. We'll wrap this up quickly. Fairbanks gone, Anchorage gone, Alabama Huntsville gone as well from this new league. Some quick questions for you. Again, don't know how much you can get into it. Don't know how much is even known at this point, but questions that we've been asked. Any ideas about the new league name? I feel like CCHA might be the presumptive favorite in that area. And are there any other institutions looking to join?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's all just a little bit premature with the announcement just coming out. So, you know, there's certainly some discussion going on. A lot of that's at a higher level than the head coaching level. You know, we're certainly have had some time as head coaches to, you know, we want to strengthen the league. We want to be, you know, an elite performing league, as we talked about in that announcement. That's really important to us, who the next members are, if anybody, and the naming, things like that. You know, we'll have a little bit of say, but really that's going to be higher up the administrative chart, and you know, we'll kind of see what happens moving forward.
Locally, an exciting season last year for Lake Superior State. A number of guys really had terrific seasons, guys like Diego Cuglietta, Anthony Nellis as well. But between those two, plus Gage Terrell and Steven Ruggiero, there's 110 points gone from this roster. One of the big questions is, how are you going to make up that offense? Can you even fully make up that offense, or does that require some tactical changes?
Yeah, it's a great question, and that is a big one, as you said. You know, I think we're really solid in a lot of places, and hopefully we'll get some time to talk about our strength on the back end and what we return, our goaltending, things like that. But no, that's a big question, and it's a great question. You know, you don't know that till we're into it. We feel like we have some guys. You know, I didn't come in knowing what Diego scored as a junior or sophomore, you know, but he obviously had a big jump his senior year. Same thing with Anthony Nellis. You know, Diego cracked a century club at Lake State, one of the first guys to do that in quite a few years, yeah. And only three or four in the last 10, 15 years, something like that. So it's been a long time. Nellis didn't quite get there. But when you look at replacements, Max Humitz, you know, should get to that level. He's coming into his senior year at 76 points. He's been one of our top scorers since he's been here. So certainly turning to Max will be a big part of it. Braden Gelsinger has been battling injuries the last couple of years, or certainly freshman, sophomore year, but Braden Gelsinger will be a part of that scoring group and will have to be one of our leaders. So I think there's a lot of guys that have the ability to do that. It might be more by committee than maybe that one guy with 25. But I think we have guys, you know, that can make that step like Diego did, like Anthony did as seniors. You know, Brendan McKay had 13 points last year. Can we get Macker to 18, 20? You know, I think Brian Basilico, you know, never got much power play time the last couple of years. You know, can he grab a power play role and can he jump to 8, 10, 12 goals, something like that? So it will be by committee, or it will be determined, you know, once they get in here and we get through testing and start to see where things shake up. Certainly Ashton Calder, you know, we expect him to build on a really strong freshman year and continue to play at a high level. So I think there's a lot of guys that can be in that group, and there's some guys like, you know, Ian Johnston or Owen Guy, you know, they have not got much opportunity. You know, are they ready to finally step in and play a bigger role? You know, those were high scorers in their junior leagues. You know, so those are, you know, some of the returners that can do it. With that experience, D-Core, you got a guy like Colin Sockham and Lucas Keibel, Jacob Nordquist. You know, certainly other guys, but those three in particular had pretty good offensive numbers from the back end. We had, I think, maybe the fifth highest scoring D-Core in the country, top 10 for sure. You know, we're going to look to continue to get offense from our back end. You know, those guys are already doing it. You know, some youth there too, with freshmen, sophomores, now that they're seniors, juniors. Jacob as a sophomore, you know, we think that can be a real big shot in the arm offensively as well.
Plus, go goaltending. Goaltending and defense are going to be the stable areas of this team from last year. You're returning most everybody. Kossoff, obviously a big one that you're losing. Ruggiero, big one that you're losing on the defensive end. But most everybody else in those units are back. Bengert, probably going to get a little bit more of a look this season,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, you know, Nick and those guys, you know, Nick and Steven are big losses, but we do like the depth behind there. Obviously, Merrick Mittens, we've seen, you know, a pretty good amount of him over the last couple years. You know, he's a guy that's played Russia and USA and Canada and World Junior environment, so he's been tested at a high level, and then we really got a high trust level in Merrick's and where he's going to be. He's going to be at the Chicago Blackhawks camp here in the next couple days as well, so that'll be a good experience for him. And Roman's really been a tough part. If you guys, if our fans remember back, that first year we were surprised when he was deemed ineligible due to the type of contract he had signed with his advisor. We were really shocked by it, didn't think it'd be an issue to appeal that and get that fixed, but that first year was cost, you know, and he came in, we expected him to compete for starts and get some opportunity. By losing that year, it really allowed Nick and Merrick's to establish themselves ahead of Roman, and now finally he gets an opportunity. So, you know, don't forget Roman's a former Manitoba Junior Hockey League goalie of the year. He's got good size. He's a great student. He's a great in the weight room. And I know we're going to need Roman to be ready. You know, he's going to get some opportunities, and what he does with those will determine, you know, how much he can get in there and what he can play. And then Seth Eisel coming in the back end, or the last goaltender as well. You know, Seth is a good goaltender as well. Had a strong finishing year, his 20-year-old year in the North American League, 6'3", 6'4", from Stillwater, like Gordie Dayfield, and you know, Seth will be in the mix as well, and so it'll be a really healthy battle. And then when you go to the back end, as you said, you know, Steven's a big loss. You know, did a lot of things, more of a defender and a shutdown guy, even though he had 6 goals. You know, he had a career year, and you know, that's what we're going to ask of our seniors. You know, this, your seniors, you have to have great years. That's the guys like Brendan McKay and Basilico, Humitz, Gelsinger, Sockerman. It's not a huge senior class, but they've played a lot. We're going to need those guys to lead us. But we return essentially 5 of our top 6 defensemen. You know, really, really a strong unit. We think that's going to have to lead us, certainly with that early season schedule. We play some of the best teams in the country. 3 of those teams will be ranked in the top 10, I'm sure, when we meet them, maybe in the top 5 for all of those. We're going to need that goaltending, that D-core, to really set us straight as we figure out that scoring, some of the lineup, and where that offense is going to come from.
Matt Pocket, Damon Witten here. We will be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk here on ESPN 1400. Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
All right, welcome back here on your Thursday morning. It is Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Damon Witten, I'm Matt Pocket. Nice to be here with you this morning. Damon, let's start off with tactical adjustments from last season. We wanted to talk about this on the other side of the break a little bit, but with guys like Kuglietta gone, certain players let you do certain things, and one of the staples of last year's squad was that really heavy forecheck. You guys pressed a lot of teams, made them uncomfortable bringing the puck up the ice, and guys like Diego let you do that. Now that he's gone, is that something that you still are making a staple of the team in recruiting, in player development as well, or do you now have to kind of figure out something else with the personnel that you have available?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think what I've done in my experience being with guys like Coach Conley and Coach Mason and others, you know, you look, you do a deep dive in your own team postseason, and you want to look at you're maximizing your talent level, you're playing, I guess for us, a modern game. You know, we try to steal from the best in the business, guys like John Cooper and Jeff Blashill and on, and we have contacts throughout the NHL that we're pulling clips from and you know, bouncing ideas from them. So, you know, we always do that deep dive. And one of the things that we came back with is just really stressing the habits we play with. And, you know, we were able to make a lot of clips throughout the season from different guys about the proper habits we play with, you know, our tracking habits, being heavy on pucks, creating offense one-on-one, some of the tactics we use to do that. So I don't think our habits are going to change a whole lot. You know, we're kind of ingrained of playing a certain way and what we think is the right way to play. So we really want to, you know, reinforce those habits, share those with the guys, teach our incoming guys what those habits look like. But then tactically and structurally, same thing. You know, we did a deep dive. You're going to see some adjustments in some areas. Again, you know, we are who we are. And I think when you go around the league, when you look at Bemidji State with Coach Ceratori, you know, they've kind of been who they are for a while. You know, Joey Sean now at Michigan Tech, he's going into, I think, year two or year three. You know, we've seen some adjustments in their coaching transition, but Tech's starting to get to where they want to be. So I think there's a lot of consistency in some areas, but we're always adjusting. And even with that forecheck you talked about, you know, we can go to the GLI and how effective. I think we had two or three forecheck goals against Michigan Tech when we won the Great Lakes Invitational. But then the next opponent might come in and they break out. They have a different structure the way they break out. We're going to adjust to them a little bit. Again, we want to be who we're going to be. We don't want to get too worried about the other team. But I think, you know, you have to be flexible and adjust based on your opponent to some degree. So we're not dead set, hey, we're going to be, you know, a certain way. We want to make sure we're trying to take advantage of strengths and weaknesses of other teams. But yeah, ultimately, we are going to make a couple adjustments, some small tweaks to the way we play, you know, and that could change. You know, we have an idea of our install coming up this fall when our players get back and we can get on the ice with them. But we might see, you know, we're not where we thought we were in a certain area, or our player personnel doesn't allow us to play this way. We want to be nimble enough and flexible enough to make some adjustments that way. And one of those big areas is down the middle. You know, Gage Terrell moved to center probably around Christmas last year. So we went, you know, Kuglietta, Terrell, Erickson down the middle. Well, we lost two of our top three centers. You know, Brendan McKay was very good for us. It was more of a third or fourth line role depending on the game. So, you know, can Macker stand up? We've got a couple guys coming in that are natural centers. Are they going to plug into a higher role? Ashton Calder can play center. Is he going to move from the wing back to the center? So that's really a big question too. You know, you got Hampus, Erickson, Brendan McKay returning down the middle. Who's going to grab some roles? Is it Ashton coming back? Is it a freshman inputting there? You know, Alex Ambrosio, can Alex take a step and get back into the middle there? You know, he had some personal tragedy he went through that kind of got him shuffled out of the lineup there, but Owen Guy is another center. So we've got to figure out that a really important piece being good down the middle. You know, Diego was so good on faceoffs all season long that we lose a really key faceoff guy. Hampus will have to step up. Brendan will have to step up. But, you know, establishing our centers will be a big part of what we look like tactically.
Matt Pocket, Damon Witten. It is Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. A lot of younger players on this team. You mentioned it a little while ago, Damon. Not a big senior class. Still, for being a young team, there are a ton of veterans in this group to bring along younger players as well. Do you expect to get any offense out of some of the incoming freshmen, guys like maybe Boudon or Manns even?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think that's part of it, and you never quite know, you know, what that looks like until they get there and get going. You know, we still feel like last year, 4 or 5 years ago when guys came in, they had to play from day one. We needed Diego and Gage and Nelly as freshmen to step in and provide offensive impacts. I think we're deeper now than we were then. And the pressure is not on those young guys as much. Ashton Calder is a great example. You know, we could be patient with Ashton next year. I thought it was really beneficial for Ashton to, you know, not be the focal point. We could surround him by some juniors and seniors. And you look what it did. He got more confident. He adjusted month to month and ended up as, you know, maybe the top rookie scorer, second maybe. One of the highest scoring rookies in the league and the all-rookie team members. So I think we're similar. You know, we might have a little bit more pressure on one or two of them that they have to contribute a little bit more, but we can still pair them with guys like Max, who's as a senior, Gelsinger, Hampus as a junior, Brendan McKay, Brian Basilico, a senior. So we're going to be able to put some youth with some experienced guys to help them ring along. But when you do look at a guy like Louis Bedoin, you know, he didn't, I don't know where he finished in the league, but he led his team in scoring by about 30 points. You know, he didn't have a lot of scoring support around him, a very, very skilled player. I think Louis does have a chance to come in as long as he had a great summer and he's strong enough, quick enough. You know, Dustin Manns, I think, was a top five scorer in the BCHL on the best team in the BCHL that, you know, almost won the Canadian National Championship. So, you know, we think Manzi can come in and contribute. Nico Esposito Selivanov, same thing. You know, was a high scorer on a more of a bottom team. They upset a really good, I think, Penticton team in the playoffs, which has not happened very often. And Nico, I think, led his team in playoff scoring. You know, Robert Bluger, you know, was in Madison last year, you know, didn't have the numbers, but he's a big centerman who distribute pucks really well. And so Bluger is a piece that, you know, might not be those huge numbers, but he can win faceoffs. He makes guys around him better. So those are the forward group that will come in and look to help out.
Matt Pocket in for Bill Crawford, Damon Witten. As always, it is Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Damon, with all these young guys coming in, and even with the returning guys, how much input do you as a coaching staff have over these guys in the offseason?
It varies, you know. We've got a couple guys that have been up for camps, a couple guys that are up here training. You know, that's changing a little bit. Most schools are keeping their guys more, and that's something we want to work to, you know, develop a little bit more. You know, I think one of the real strengths of our staff, and, you know, still somewhat young, and Zach coming in being, you know, much younger than Mike and I, that we are, you know, we hope to be well connected with our players and have a strong relationship. So, again, you never seem to have enough time with them, but there's a lot of conversations as much as we can, you know, checking in on training and how they're doing that way, health-wise, making sure they're not dealing with injuries. So I think we have strong relationships with most of our players, and it's something we're always trying to build and develop upon. So, you know, that's something that we find really important.
Some quick hits here. Melvin Carlson has departed the program. What kind of comment do you have on that as well? What is the plan for recruitment there? We've talked about this in the past. It is a jigsaw puzzle filling in recruitment. Do you have plans to go out and replace him directly?
Yeah, no, good question. And you and I talked off the air before, but, you know, you went back to kind of Bendulis and Mitch Holtz and some of those departures. You know, those were the NHL contracts. You know, you're not going to win those battles. I think for Melvin, you know, we understood what he wanted to do. Melvin was a 4.0 student. He's got a high-end school back home in Sweden. I think first time he had never been over to the States, so it was all brand new to Melvin, unlike a lot of the other European players who come and spend a year or two before they come. That was Melvin's first time away from home, and you know, it was just challenging for him. And then he wants to be an engineer. I think Lake State, you know, had the right program for him, but he just didn't kind of have the drive to keep playing at that level. So my understanding from Melvin is he's just going to go home and go to school and work on that engineering degree. So you can't fault him. You know, he's got a real drive academically to graduate back home and work back home in Sweden. So he was a very solid player for us. He filled a really good role on a third line right shot. So, you know, we will miss him and the role he filled. You know, and so through those Mitch Holtzes and those Chris Bendulises, we talked about trying to be more prepared in the future. I mean, that was year one or year two. And, you know, it's a good thing if you're moving guys along to the NHL, but we feel like we're prepared. You know, we've got good forward depth. We got a lot of guys who can, you know, fill that role or meet that role or exceed that role. So that's been filled internally already, partly with the class coming in, partly with guys like, you know, Miramuka is a really good player. He didn't get a chance, you know, to play as much as he would have liked last year. Maybe we would have liked to get him in, but we think Miro can play. You know, Owen Guy, same thing. He got some chances early on. You know, again, Ian Johnson was a big scorer back in junior hockey. So Ian's got to make that step this year and try to crack that top nine, where he's more of a top nine player than a bottom line player that's more of a checking, grinding role. So we'll be fine that way. You know, we'll miss Melvin, and he was a great student and a good teammate. Just, you know, had the decision to move back home and follow that thing academically.
Quickly too, Damon, a couple of staff replacements, trainer and equipment manager. Do you have any updates on those openings?
Yeah, we've got our athletic trainer filled. Patrick Sarney will be up here very shortly. You know, he's got a good experience. Game's really highly recommended. He's got a good hockey background as well, which, you know, selfishly from our program, we like that. He's got more than just hockey duties, but, you know, we certainly want to make sure guys are well cared for for. You know, he comes from a guy that's strong in my background, a Hall of Famer, Dave Carrier, highly recommended him. And he does a lot of, you know, more advanced manual manipulations for growings and backs to keep our guys healthy. So we're excited to add Patrick to our team. Equipment manager is still being filled and going through the human resources process, but, you know, we'll be in a really good spot there. I think it's an area that will be, you know, well accounted for there. We're excited about that opportunity and that change there. And then lastly, Mike Guggen is going to be our new volunteer coach. We didn't have a volunteer last year with Zach Sizek having the goalie background. A lot of schools will use their volunteer for a goalie coach, and we did that in the past with Terry Barbeau. And now with Zach on board, we have the chance to go get a volunteer assistant, Mike Guggen. Again, Mike spent some time with one of my best friends growing up in the D3 level, Mike Skajinski at Lawrence, and you know, some other areas as well. So Mike's going to come in, you know, help us on the ice, running practices, will be really valuable early on. He's been coaching college hockey for, I think, 3 to 5 years. So when we have two coaches on the road recruiting, and it's maybe Mike and I or Yorkie and Guggen, you know, it's really nice to have an extra set of eyes and hands to help run practices. And then we'll also do a lot of our video work too. And again, very hockey knowledgeable. So he's going to be able to pre-scout, scouting reports, post-scout, things like that. It'll be a really valuable addition to our roster.
Well, it is the fastest half hour in radio. Not to sound cliche or anything, but we are out of time, Damon.
It's never enough. I think we need to make this a two-hour show weekly or something like that. We could talk Laker hockey all day.
We are going to quadruple the length of the show here coming up. Matt Pocket, Damon Witten. Damon, thanks for doing this. This was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Again, thanks for the support this summer at Laker Hockey School. And we're not too far away. Players report August 18th, so just about a month away here. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody this fall. Thank you, and go Lakers.
The Lakers open on Saturday, October 5th, in a weekend series with Merrimack, then welcome in Denver October 11th and 12th for Great Lakes State Weekend. It is not that far away. This has been Laker Hockey Talk. Matt Pocket filling in for Bill Crawford and Damon Witten on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.